Father, I thank you for the Word of God that is alive and powerful. And I believe, Father, that it is alive and powerful to us today. I ask you, Father, that it would have free course in our life to accomplish all that you have sent it to do in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be like Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin with verses 11 through 15. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Be like Jesus. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. He says, to a perfect man. And then he tells us who that perfect man is. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I shared a message with you last week about how that we need to grow up. We need to still be growing. As a Christian, as a child of God, we should always still be growing. We want to grow up into Him. Verse 13 in the NIV says that we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 15, we will in all things grow up into Him. In all things grow up into Him. That is in part, I'm telling you, that is the goal of the Christian life, is that you become like Jesus. I think that some of that being infants and blown back and forth by every wind of doctrine, that teaching, listen, it has to do with the humanistic gospel that's preached today, that it's all about you. It's real quiet in here. Well, it's going to get better. But listen, it's all around us. We hear it being preached and taught that it's all about you. Now, I want to tell you that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Certainly, it is about us. But we need to realize that it's really all about Him. In eternity, everybody will know that, that it's really all about Him. It's not just about, well, what the Lord can do for you and fix your life and do everything. No, it's really all about Him and what He's already done for us on the cross. I tell you, Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to have the very best kind of life. But sometimes people get sidetracked about all of the fluff and stuff. We need to realize it's not about that, but what really matters is about living for God and becoming more like Jesus. Amen. That's what really matters. More than we desire to be wealthy, more than we desire to be popular, achieve great things, be a great athlete, or be the best in our field, more than we desire to see all our dreams come true, we should desire to be like Jesus. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. Those are good things. There's nothing wrong with those things. Unless they become a distraction from the thing that is really important, and that is that we want to become like Jesus. That's what we've been called to. That is the life that God wants us to live, to be like Jesus. A few years back, we found a picture of my grandfather when he was in his 40s, and in this particular picture, it looks so much like me that my children thought it was me in the picture. And I really liked that because he was really good looking. But no, that's not really why. I really like that because I wanted to be like my granddaddy. I looked up to him and thought so much of him that he was someone that I wanted to be like. And in many ways, my grandfather was my hero. He was a hard-working, tough guy. He was a man of character. He was a man among men. He was one of those men that other men just wanted to be like. Not because he was rich or successful, not because he was good looking or charming. It was just because of the kind of man that he was that somehow he made you want to be more. Somehow he challenged those around him to rise to a higher level, and a lot of them did. Now we've all had some heroes that maybe we would aspire to be like. Someone that we looked up to, someone who inspires us, challenges us by example to be more, to do more, to achieve more. But for every Christian, for every one of us, Jesus is our example. Jesus is our inspiration. Jesus is the one that is calling us and challenging us to be more, to be like Him, to follow His example. That's the plan of God, that we become like Him. I'm just going to jump right in the middle of this today, because I'm telling you, I feel that, you know, we're so used to having this gospel that's just catered to fit me, what I want. And I'll tell you, the end result of that is a fruitless religion. What we need is Jesus Christ formed in us. This is the real gospel, that Jesus Christ doesn't just have religion that will reform you and educate you and help you. He has a religion that will transform your life. Listen, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Church, I'm telling you, that is the kind of gospel that we need to hear. It is a transformation, that I'm no longer the same, but I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen. Listen, that's God's plan, that we become like Him. Now, God has a great plan for your life, and there are many details along the way that certainly God has a plan for your life, a plan for finding the right mate and the right career and how you'll be used in ministry. God has a plan for all of those things, but you need to understand that the ultimate plan, the big picture is that God's plan is that you be conformed into the image of His Son. Amen. Romans 8:29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, some people just get preoccupied and they focus only on that one word in that sentence, predestined, and they think that that means that everything is already predetermined, that they don't have anything to do with it. But you need to notice that word before, those He foreknew. You see, God foreknew. He knew who would be a whosoever. He knew who would believe in Him and put their faith and trust in Him. And those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. Those who are born again, He has predestined us to be His sons and daughters, to be conformed into the image of Jesus. You know, when I was 4 or 5, they asked me what I wanted to be. I don't remember this, but what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I said, I want to be one of those guys that puts the gas in the car. I had high aspirations. Well, I'm glad that God had a plan for my life. I would be unemployed today because they don't do that anymore. In fact, our young people are wondering what in the world I'm talking about. But some of you remember, you pulled up to the gas station, the guy came out in his little, you know, blue suit or whatever and had his name on there, and he would put gas in your car and check the oil. And I guess at 4 or 5, I thought that was something to be desired, that was the job for me, you know. Well, I'm glad the Lord took me on and had something more for me, that He had a plan. But now if you ask me, what do I want to do when I grow up? What do I want to be when I grow up? I want to be like Jesus. Amen. I want to be like Him. To be honest with you, one of my greatest disappointments in life is that as the years have gone by, that I'm not more like Jesus. I feel like sometimes, you know, Lord, I'm thankful that you've begun a good work in my life, and I know that you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But Lord, I wish I was a little further along in being like Jesus. Well, he's got some difficult clay to work with, but he will perform it. Amen. But you know what? It's so important that we desire that we want to be like Jesus, that we realize that really is the Christian life, is to be like Jesus. I want to see people live in all that God has for them, to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. I want to see you, now listen to me, I want to see you be successful in every endeavor of life. I want to see you be successful in your career, in your finances. I want to see you be successful in your family relationships. I want to see you be successful in ministry. But more than all of that, I want to challenge you to be like Jesus. You see, if we miss that, the rest of it doesn't really matter. See, the Apostle Paul, such a great soul winner and church planner. But with him, it was never just about the numbers. Here in America, we focus on things like that. That seems to be the proof of success. And certainly the Apostle Paul had the numbers. He had the results, the fruit. But it wasn't just about numbers for him. Numbers weren't enough. He wanted to see Christ formed in people. Yes. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read 5 whole verses here, and everybody's going to stay with me. Amen? We're going to make it through these 5 whole verses, because I tell you, I want you to get the full impact of where his heart was and what was really important in his ministry. He says, I now, Colossians 1:24, we'll start there. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now listen, he's saying, I suffer. I go through afflictions for the sake of his body, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. What mystery? We actually sang it in the first verse of the first song this morning. What is that mystery that's been hidden for generations? To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's the mystery of the ages, that Christ would be in us. And that's what the Apostle Paul wanted to see in the people that he preached to. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works mightily in me. This is what it was all about for him. Not just getting people to name the name of Christ, not just getting people to go to church, but getting people to allow Jesus Christ to be formed in them. He said, I am laboring, I am striving according to his working that's working mightily in me. I'm striving and laboring for this, to see Christ in you. Listen, he says it, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Galatians 4:19, he says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. You see, that was his goal, was to see Christ formed in those believers, to see them becoming like Jesus. Now I want to challenge you today, that needs to be the desire of our heart, a passion of our life, a goal of our life, that we want to be more like Jesus. So many today that claim to be Christian without the slightest awareness of what that means. To be a true Christian is to be a follower of Christ. It is to follow His teachings. It is to follow His way of life. That's what it means to be a Christian. When Jesus says, "Follow me," He says to the disciples, "Follow me." He says to you and me, "Follow me." He's not inviting us to go for a walk. He is commanding us to follow His life, His lifestyle, His ways, the way He lives, the things that He does. He is saying, "Be like me. Follow me. Follow me." And I tell you, He was calling them to a higher level. He was challenging them to be something more. Those fishermen, He said, "You're no longer going to be just a fisherman, but you're going to be a fisher of men." Now, it's not about a vocational change, but it's about a higher life. It's about being willing to lay down this life so you can have His kind of life and be like Jesus. And I tell you, Jesus calls us from that ordinary life to be like Him, to follow Him. I think sometimes we struggle to make that our goal, to be like Him, just because we know how far we are from it. But He is able to change us if we are willing and we desire it. The psalmist said in Psalm 17 and 15, he said, "I shall be satisfied when I wake in your likeness." Oh, that hunger, that desire to be more like the Lord, to not be content with who and what I am, but to desire to be just like Him. And that day will come when we see Him face to face. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." When we see Him face to face, when we see Him in all of His glory, it will transform us, and we will be like Him. Amen. Well, then we'll be satisfied. I told you last week, we should never be satisfied spiritually. We should always be content with our situation. But we should never be satisfied to not grow anymore, to not be growing in Jesus and becoming more like Him. We're not going to be satisfied until we awaken His likeness, until we see Him as He is. That should be our goal in life, to grow up into Him. The church, His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. I tell you, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be more like Jesus. We need to be Jesus to a lost and dying world. The church, which is His body, we need to be like Jesus. To call ourselves Christians, and it doesn't just mean to associate yourself with a particular group of people. It is to accept the challenge from Jesus to follow Him, to follow His teachings, to follow His life, and to follow His example. Listen, He demands it. He commands it. Luke 9:23, He says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's His call. That's His challenge to every person who believes in Him. If any man would come after me, you deny yourself, you take up your cross, the plan, the will, the purpose of God for your life, and you follow after Him. Follow after His way of life. He is our example. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." I've seen people that wanted to act like they were God. That's not what it's talking about. But we need to act like Him and that we imitate Him. The King James says, be followers of God. We're supposed to be like Him. And to the best of our ability, every day as a child of God, we ought to want to be more like Him. But Jesus is our example. You know, as you read the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we learn who the Lord is and we know His ways. And we should desire to be like Him in every way. As you read the Gospels and you read the life of Jesus, certainly we should follow Him and be like Him in every way. But this morning, I just want to focus on seven things that the Bible tells us very specifically that we are to follow Jesus' example and be like Him. The first one is the very next verse. In fact, let me read that verse again from Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The first one is that we should follow His example in love. The Bible says very plainly that we're to love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. Jesus Himself told us in John 13:34, a new command I give to you, that you love one another. And how does He say to do it? As I have loved you. He tells us very plainly, follow my example. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. He loved us with a sacrificial love. We're going to be like Jesus. We have to follow His example and love other people with a sacrificial love. It is not just about having it my way. No, it is about loving other people with that sacrificial giving kind of love. That's following the example of Jesus. Second, if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to forgive like Jesus did. Just back up a couple of verses there. In Ephesians 4:32, He tells us, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. As Jesus hung on the cross and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus set an example for us. As He died for every one of us, paid the price for our sin. You know, we all think we've really done something if we took the blame for one person on one particular issue. But Jesus took the blame and the shame. He paid the price for every one of us so that we might be forgiven. And He is our example. And I want to tell you very plainly, if you can't forgive, you can't be like Jesus. But the Word of God tells us that we are to forgive just as in Christ. God has forgiven us. Third, if you want to be like Jesus, you got to be like Him in humility. Philippians chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That just goes against the grain, doesn't it? Not only of a modern philosophy, but a lot of the modern theology that's being preached in America today. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Church, That kind of humility, it just goes against the grain of the philosophy of the day. And I'll tell you, even in a lot of Christian circles, they teach that you should think of yourself as better. But let me tell you, Jesus, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, John 1:1, it tells us that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus, the Word, God Himself, humbled Himself and became a man and became a servant and died for us, died in our place. That's humility. And He says, let this same mind be in you, this same mindset and attitude. The NIV says attitude. Let this same attitude be in you. That though He was equal with God, He humbled Himself and became a servant, obedient to the point of death. Jesus Christ is our example in humility. Verse 9, listen to this. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him, given Him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, He humbled Himself, and now He has a name that is above every name. Did you know the Bible also promises us that if we will humble ourselves, that God, in due time, God will exalt us? Amen. Now, don't do God's job because you don't want Him doing your job. If you exalt yourself, the Bible says that God will abase you. But if you humble yourself, He will exalt you. Jesus humbled Himself, and we have to learn from Him and follow His example. Matthew 11:28-30. We like to preach these verses and talk about these verses in our stress-filled world, but sometimes we miss the key principle here. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh yes, Lord, I need that rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. You see, we got to learn from Jesus. Learn from His example. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I tell you, so much of the stress, the anxiety, and the pressures in this world from the lifestyle and the mentality, the attitude that we live. But if we would learn from Jesus to be meek, gentle, lowly in heart, you find a rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Become more like Jesus. Humble yourself. Meek and lowly in heart. You'll find a rest for your soul. It'll set you free. Amen. Becoming more like Jesus will set you free. Fourth, we are to be like Him in serving. I realize this is such a shouting message this morning. I realize that now. I'm telling you, church, we need this. It'll set you free. We learn to be more like Jesus. We're talking about having more of the joy of the Lord. We're talking about having rest in your life. We're talking about having fruitfulness in our life, real victory in our life. Amen. Jesus taught very plainly that we are to be servants. He taught it and He modeled it. He is our example. John 13:3-5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God. Now, we just need to stop right here. Jesus knew something. He knew that the Father had given all things into His hands. He knew where He had come from, that He had come from God, and He knew where He was going, that He was going back to God. He knew who He was. You know, the devil tried to challenge that in his temptation of Jesus. If you are the Son of God. Jesus knew who He was. And knowing who he was, knowing that the Father had given all things to him, that he had come from God and he was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He knew who he was. Humbling himself and serving others didn't change that. See, I think some people think that if I serve other people, well, that'll make me the doormat. That'll make me like some dog. Not if you know that you're a son, a daughter of God. It doesn't change who you are. In fact, Jesus said that if you want to be great, you must be the servant of all. But in our society and even in the church, the attitude so much of the time is I'm not going to do that. And Jesus did the lowest job, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, knowing where he came from and where he was going. He got down and he washed the dirty feet of his disciples. So when he had finished, verse 12, so when he had finished washing their feet, taking his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Could he say it any plainer? I have given this to you as an example. As I have done to you, you should do to one another. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You want to talk about blessing? You want to talk about the blessing of the Lord? We're blessed when we do what Jesus taught us to do in following his example. Now listen, when Jesus says that we're to follow his example here, it's not just talking about washing feet. And you know, if you have a foot washing service, that can be a really special thing and be very meaningful. But I'm telling you, that is not what Jesus is talking about here in this passage. He's talking about serving. And in our day, in our culture, washing feet is going to be a little bit different now. I'll tell you who washes feet. We have a couple of men that every Sunday morning, they make sure that this corner of the parking lot is clean so that when we come to church, we don't have to walk through a pile of trash. And if we have visitors, it's not a turnoff that there's 14 pounds of cigarette butts laying at the curb there. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but everything in this whole parking lot, this whole shopping center, blows right up into this corner. And it is nasty. It is nasty stuff. And somebody goes out there and cleans it up. They're not paid to. Nobody cornered them into it. They're just doing it to serve. We got some ladies that serve every Sunday back there changing diapers. I've done a few of those. It's not that fun. They're serving. And I tell you, Jesus modeled it for us. And he says that we're to serve one another. And people want to be like Jesus and don't want to serve. They don't know what they're talking about. Because Jesus was a servant and he modeled it for every one of us. I worked for a pastor one time. He said, I paid my dues. I owe a debt that I could never repay. There'll never be a day that I will say, I paid my dues. We just serve. I tell you, we'll find the blessing that Jesus spoke of. It's an attitude of the heart. Maybe if we could just realize, as I said, that serving doesn't cause us to lose our identity. Listen, the pastor who thinks he's too good to clean the commode has forgotten the things that are really important. Clean bathrooms. Oh, come on. Not clean bathrooms. Being like Jesus. That's what's really important. Being like Jesus. Now, that might not be the very best use of a pastor's time, but if a pastor thinks he's too good to do it or he's above that, there's something wrong, because Jesus was a servant, and we need to be servants. If we're going to be like Jesus, you got to be a servant. Fifth, Jesus is our example in endurance. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. We need this message. If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to keep going. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is marked or set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes fixed on him. He is our example, and we have to consider him and the opposition that he faced. Listen, the shame that he bore, the cross itself that he went through, all of that opposition, listen, all of hell was against him, and evil men inspired by the devil, but he endured it all for the joy set before him. The joy of what he was about to accomplish. The joy that he was going to fulfill his Father's will. The joy that he was going to sit down at the right hand of his Father. And I tell you, child of God, if you will follow his example and endure, you will find joy. There is a joy that's set before you as well. Sixth, he is our example in suffering. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. We don't believe in that. Church, I did not want to share this with you today. I said, Lord, let me just leave that out. And as I began to look through the Word, I didn't find one or two passages, but over and over and over again, I found passages in the Bible, in the New Testament, that speak of suffering. And I found passages where I have taught the verses before and the verses after, and have skipped those passages. But church, right here is a truth that will set us free. Right here is a truth that will help us to be more like Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read 21 through 23. You see, if we just preach the parts of the Bible that we like, if we just study the parts that feel good to us, we don't grow up. One of the reasons that so many believers are still infants, still babies, is because they don't understand that we have to follow Jesus in suffering. Just stay with me. I know some of you, I don't believe that. Stay with me. You see, I preach, I want to know him. But Paul goes on and says, I want to know him, not only in the power of his resurrection, oh, I like to preach that, but the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, and how we like to leave that part out. First Peter 2:21, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He is our example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin. He's quite an example. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. You see, when Jesus was wronged, when he suffered for doing what is right, he didn't repay. He didn't say, I'm not going to take that. You see, that's the attitude of the day. Somebody wrongs you, your old flesh rises up real quick. I don't have to put up with that. I'm not going to take that. And the end result is that we are immature and unchristlike. Because if we're going to be like Jesus, when we are wronged, we suffer it. We turn the other cheek. That's what Jesus taught. That when we are reviled, we don't revile in return. We do not repay evil for evil, but we overcome evil with good. And if we're going to be Christ-like, we have to learn to suffer as Christ did. This is a key part of becoming Christ-like. It is the very issue that causes so many believers to stop growing, stop pressing on spiritually. Listen, they thought that if they just served the Lord and did what was right and did their best, that everybody would be nice to them and everything would go their way. Now, how many of you have found that's the way it works? No. But so many people get that impression that, well, if I just serve the Lord and if I just do good, then everybody's going to be nice to me and everything's going to work out. Yeah, God will work it all together for your good. But let me tell you something. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Be of good cheer. Jesus has already overcome the world. But there are going to be people who are going to do you wrong. And just the fact that you are serving the Lord and you try to do what's right, there are going to be people who despise you and mistreat you. And if we don't learn how to follow Jesus' example in suffering, what we'll do is we'll rise up and we'll act just like the world. And we'll say, I don't have to take that. I ain't going to church anymore. I don't want to be around those people anymore. No, if we're going to grow up into Him, if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to learn to suffer like Jesus did. When we are mistreated, we pray. He says, pray for those who despitefully treat you. We got to pray for them, those that mistreat us. I tell you, it's all through the Scripture over and over. Jesus tells us that in that day, when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we're to leap for joy. We're to rejoice and leap for joy. You know what that means? It means that you're becoming more like Jesus. I tell you, I found that if you're going to do anything for the Lord, there are going to be people who are going to oppose you. In fact, most of the time, it's going to be other Christian people. There are going to be people who hate you. I had some young men come to me one time, one of my youth groups, and they were crying, tears and everything. And they said, Mark, we don't know why we hate you. You see, the devil will just stir it up. He will stir people up to hate you when you're doing right. In fact, Jesus said that people are going to hate you. And when they do you wrong, they're going to think they're doing God a service. John 16, beginning with verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. I'm telling you, this is where so many people stumble. Because they are mistreated, they are wronged, they're suffering wrong, and they get bent out of shape and lose out in their relationship with God and serving the Lord because they didn't understand that if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to follow Him in suffering also. You should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God a service. These things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me, but these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And that's why it needs to be preached and taught from the pulpit, because people need to know that this is part of the Christian life. If you're going to serve God, there are going to be devils who hate you, and they're going to stir people up against you. And when you decide that, you know, when you're obeying God and you're trying to do right, you're trying to do what God has told you to do, I can tell you from personal experience, there are going to be people who accuse you of doing evil and doing wrong and think they do God a service by standing against you and fighting you. What do? You follow His example. Repay evil for good. First Peter 3:17, it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And we need to be mindful of that, because if we're suffering, if we are going through a hard time because we've made foolish mistakes and because we have done wrong, that's not suffering for the Lord. But it's when we are doing the will of God, we're doing what's right, and we suffer for it, we are following Christ's example. One more from the next chapter, 1 Peter 4:1-2. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. He's talking about here that if you're going to really live a godly life, there are going to be people who are going to make fun of you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to harass you. They're going to treat you like you're some kind of a nut. But if you're going to live for God, if you're going to do the will of God, when you are treated that way, you just need to understand you're suffering for righteousness. You're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, and it's time to rejoice. Amen. And if you'll just keep going on, you're going to have victory. Now, you know, I realize that some of what I'm preaching and teaching this morning, it is not milk. We need to grow up. Amen. Well, Pastor, that's hard to chew up and swallow. I know, but we need it, church. We don't just need the milk of the Word. We need to become like Jesus. And we got to become like Him in knowing how to handle when we're mistreated and when we're wrong. We got to follow His example in suffering. Seventh, we follow His example in ministry to others. No one can be a true follower of Jesus Christ and not care about other people. You can't be a follower of Jesus and not be involved in ministering and helping other people. You don't need a title or a position. It doesn't have to be some official thing at the church. But everybody who is a follower of Jesus is going to have a heart to care about other people, because that's what Jesus was all about. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Listen, from the time He began His ministry until He ascended to the Father, it was all about ministering to other people. And if we follow His example, we got to minister to other people. We have to get involved. So much of the church in America, listen, the vast majority of the church in America today sits and lets somebody else do the ministry. Church, that's not right. That's not Bible. That's not the way the body of Christ works. We all have a part in it, every one of us. And if we're going to be like Jesus, then we got to get involved in the lives of other people and helping other people. Jesus said, freely you have received, now freely give. Amen. Just as much as we've been blessed, we've received. I tell you, church, we need to try to give it out. John 14:12, Jesus says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Jesus makes it very plain and clear that we are to continue on as the body of Christ. We are to continue on the same works that he did, seeing people set free, seeing people healed, seeing people delivered. And listen, church, we can pray for people. We can love people. We can help people. You see, Jesus went about doing good. Just go about doing good. Find somebody you can do good for. Follow Jesus' example and minister to other people. Say, well, Pastor, all that sounds great, but I can't, I don't know how I can do that. Listen, none of us can do it in our own strength. In our own strength and ability, none of us can be like Jesus. But we don't have to. As Paul said, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's not in our strength, but it's Jesus giving us the strength that we can live like He did and be like Jesus. It's not just up to me by myself. No, it's Jesus in me. But we need to have that mindset that I want to be like Jesus. Paul put it this way. He said, for me to live is Christ. As long as you think, well, this is my life and I'm going to do it my way, you're not ready to live a Christian life. Jesus said, if you hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, that's when you really find life. For me to live is Christ. And when we get to that place where we're really willing to allow Jesus to live in us, then we can be like Jesus. Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Have you been crucified with Christ? Well, Pastor, what does that even mean? That means that your old flesh, your old way of life, died on the cross with Jesus. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I'm not alive anymore. That's what he said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's how you can follow his example. That's how you can live like Jesus and follow him, is because Jesus Christ himself lives inside of us. Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. One more time, Colossians 1:27, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you. And that's how we can follow his example. So I challenge you today, make a fresh commitment. Make a decision that you're going to be like Jesus. So we want to talk about our career and our finances and all this other stuff. And listen, all that has its place. But sometimes we forget the most important thing. And that is that Jesus Christ lives inside of us and that we are becoming more and more like Him.